Can we turn to that passage of scripture that was read earlier in the meeting, to the book of Acts chapter 20? And I'm going to take verse 28. I'm going to go more broadly into the passage, but a lot of what I want to say is based on verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." With our Bibles open before us, can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer? Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming into thy presence afresh. We thank thee, our God, for the praise that has ascended to thee already, the messages in song. We thank thee that thy people have joined to sing and to praise thy name. We thank thee, our God, that we've been able to draw nigh to thee in the place of prayer. We thank thee, our God, for the ordination that has taken place, and we pray that thou wouldst bless the two brethren afresh. Remember their families. We pray that thy hand would be upon them, and that thou wouldst bless and be with them in the incoming days. And we'd ask that thou wouldst bless thy word tonight. We'd pray that thou wouldst speak through that word and bless it to every heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. The city of Ephesus, in the days of the Apostle Paul, was the capital of the province of Ionia, in the province of Asia. And it was just opposite the island of Samos. And we think of how Paul went in there with the message of the gospel. Many came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and a church was started in the midst of that heathen city. And thank God that in the midst of paganism and vice and immorality, the Lord's message was prevailing. And the church flourished, and for 2 or 3 years there, the Apostle Paul was the pastor of that church. And he looked after the spiritual welfare of the people in that place. We read in Acts chapter 19 and verses 8 to 10 of some of the things that happened in Ephesus when Paul was there. It says, "He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but speak evil of that way, before the multitude he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." So this was an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. All that dwelt in Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the message. And we remember some of the dramatic things that took place in Ephesus. We think of how there were the sons of Sceva, who thought that they could cast out devils like the apostles. You remember how the devils overcame them and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" We think of how the magicians and the wizards came with their books of spells and burnt them publicly in the marketplace there in Ephesus. But then Paul had to leave, and God was directing him to another place. And he left to go to Macedonia. He went to Philippi. Then he went to Achaia. And then he was going to take his journey back to Jerusalem. But on the way, he wanted to say goodbye to the elders in Ephesus. And he came to the port of Miletus. He didn't want to take the time to go up to Ephesus itself, but he bade the elders to come down and meet him. And there was a very tearful farewell. There were the words of love one to another. And Paul now wants to exhort young Timothy, who had taken over the work. And they are the words of a man with deep concern for the little church. Paul knew the dangers. He knew that there would be enemies of the gospel who would want to stop the work and witness. And so he wants to arm Timothy, and he wants to arm the elders that are there in that portion or in that place, that they might stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a day of difficulty, here was what they should do. We live in a day of difficulty as far as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. It's never easy to preach the gospel. It's never easy to stand faithful to the crown rights of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here was what the elders were to do in that situation. And I want us just to take a few minutes tonight to look at what Paul has to say to these elders and what he says about the elders. And there are a number of things, just very simply, that I want you to see in this portion of Scripture. The first thing that I want you to see about these elders is their pardon. He doesn't say it directly, but he indirectly indicates that these are saved men. He says in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And they were members of a church, the members of which were purchased by the blood of Christ. In other words, they were saved. There was a born-again membership. And I want you to notice the fundamental place of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And these were men who were saved by the blood. They were washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now you might think, when we talk about the precious blood of Christ, that maybe we're being silly or sentimental. Maybe even you think that we're being gruesome when we think about these things or speak about them. But you know, the Lord only deals with our sins through the precious blood of the Lamb. We think of how he brings atonement or at-one-ment through his precious blood. We are at enmity against him. We are on the road to a lost and Christless eternity. But thank God that he brings us nigh. He reconciles us. We were raising our fist against him. We were at enmity against them, and we're not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed could be. But I'm glad tonight that we're justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom he has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And I hope tonight that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. See, not only are we atoned by the blood, but we are cleansed by the blood. With the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you think about the effectiveness of that blood. There are many people here tonight, our brethren here, can testify to the fact that they have been saved by his grace. Once they were on the road to hell, but now they're on the road to heaven. Once they were going down to a Christless eternity, but now they're traveling the road to that city that lies four square. Are you on that road tonight? You know, it doesn't matter how vile you may be. It doesn't matter what a mess you've made of your life. It doesn't matter how heinous and vile. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It doesn't matter how much you feel weighed down by your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It doesn't matter what you've done to others. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I want to tell you tonight, you can be cleansed in that precious blood. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, or what condition you're in. Thank God we read in the book of Revelation about those that had come out of great tribulation and had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Men and women, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And I want you to see that the elders in Ephesus were among the church that was washed in the blood, purchased with his own precious blood. And I want to say to everyone in this meeting tonight that you need to come and be washed in the same precious blood. He purchased our redemption on the center cross of Calvary by the shedding of his own precious blood. We see their pardon. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see their predestination. Look again at what the text says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, if you look in the New Testament, you will see that elders or pastors are appointed by the church. The congregation has a part, as it has in the case here this evening. But I want you to notice what it says in this portion of Scripture. It says of these elders, over which the Holy Ghost, speaking about the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. And I want you to see that there needs to be a recognition there. I want you to see that this is a high office. I want you to see that this is something that is a mighty honor, a mighty responsibility that God has given to these men. If God has placed you in this responsible position, the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, then that is something that is a mighty honor indeed. You know, you need to recognize that you're under the supervision of the Holy Spirit of God himself. His eyes are upon you and upon every child of God as well, and upon us all. We see that there's a recognition, but there's also respect, because if the Holy Ghost has set aside the elders, then they ought to have respect. You ought to respect them. This is a day when many people think, well, if the session is going to discipline me, or if somebody's going to rebuke me, or somebody's going to say something, the minister's going to say a wee word to me, I can go down the road to the next church down the road. And many people, when it comes to discipline, just disappear. They go away. Dear friend, if you do that, you're rebelling against those that the Holy Ghost has set over you. And I want you to see that that is a solemn thing this evening. It is a solemn thing to rebel. And I'm not saying that the office bearers cannot be criticized. If they go away from the Word of God, they certainly need to be criticized. But if they're standing for the blood and for the book, stand by them, support them, be at their at the back of them. And even when they have to deal with you, thank God that there's somebody that has a love and concern for you to deal with your sin. There's respect. But there's something else. There's resources. See, if the Holy Ghost set the elders in their position, then the Holy Ghost will equip. And sometimes the elders maybe are a little bit apprehensive about what they will do. But whom the Lord calls, he equips. He will give you the resources that are necessary to do the work. I want you to see their predestination. They have been set aside by the Holy Ghost. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see their provision. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I want you to see that they were to take heed to the flock, and they were to feed the flock. Now, the aim of the apostle here was that these elders build up their flock and make them strong so that they can stand and withstand the enemies that will come in like a flood. There were wolves that would take away the sheep. And there are many wolves. There are many enemies of the gospel. There are many enemies in this day that speak ill of the gospel and contradict the gospel, try to undermine the gospel, try to tell you that the gospel is nothing but a fairy tale. There are many enemies. But dear friend, the elder's job is to feed the flock of God so that you know where you stand. Stand firm, steadfast on the word of God. Not only do we see the aim of the apostle, but look at the attributes of the food. What are they feed them on? Well, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you see, as Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders here in verses 20 and 21, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He taught them from house to house. And what did he teach them? Well, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Not a half message. Not part of a message. Not a little bit that is taken out of the word of God that suits. There are many people that take bits out of the word of God to suit their sinful lifestyle and try to justify them. But Paul said, I have taught you all the counsel of God. He said, I've taught you repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He taught them everything that was profitable to them. Dear friend, I want you to remember that the word of God is profitable. You know, there may be times when you sit in a meeting, maybe you're tired, maybe you've had a long week or a hard day, and you sit in the meeting, and maybe you think to yourself, well, I could be doing something else. But you know, there's nothing as wonderful to feed the soul as the precious word of God. Have you fed on that word? You know, we read in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. And I am afraid that that's a description of many in this day and generation. No knowledge of spiritual things, even amongst God's people. Very little knowledge, very little desire to feed on the finest of the wheat, to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Oh, dear friend, what we feed is the word of God. And this church, down through the years, and as God tarries into the future, will preach the word of God. And the elders will be the guards to make sure that the word of God is preached in all its fullness. Because that's what this town needs to hear. That's what this county needs to hear. That's what this province needs to hear. What's the solution to our problems? What's the solution to all of the problems? It's found in the word of God. It's found in the direction that God gives in his word. That's where it's found. We need to feed on the word of God. Look at the affection of the elders. It says, he shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. And there is that love. We don't come to batter you over the head and to discipline you just because we can do that. But always it's out of a sense of love. and for your sakes. And we come to preach this message, sinner, for your sake. You mightn't like it. You mightn't like to be told you're a sinner. You mightn't like to be told that you're going down the road to a lost eternity. But we do it for your good. We're not going to get anything out of it. We're on the road to heaven, thank God. But we love you to come along too. Notice something else. Not only do we see their provision, but look at the pasturing of the flock. Not only do they graze the flock, but they guide the flock. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. In the East, the overseer was someone who was given the task by the shepherd to look after the flock. And the elders were to feed the flock. And they were to care for the flock and to shepherd the flock. And the elders come with that sense of care. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." And there's the heart of an elder and a pastor. You're dear unto us. And then he goes on in verse 11 of the same chapter, and he says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged you, even every one of you, as a father doth his children." So we're like a nurse and like a father. And then it says in 1 Timothy 3 and 5, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" We are to be like those that are looking after our own family. You are our family. Thank God that this church is a family. The minister here, I don't know you all, but your minister knows you everyone. He's been praying for you, been sympathizing with you this evening. The elders in this church have that care and that concern for you to build you up in their most holy faith. But I want you to see the center of leadership. It's the elders, not the congregation. It's the elders that rule. We read about the elders that rule well. This is Presbyterian government. It's biblical government. And we believe in biblical government. Look at the culmination of the leadership. It is leading men and women into the will and the plan of God. But I want you to see something else in this portion of Scripture. Look at their protection. Not only were they to pastor the flock and provide for the flock, but the elders were to protect the flock. Look at verses 28 to 30. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So it is the responsibility of the elders to watch. Watch for false doctrine. Watch for those that come in, the wolves that the Lord Jesus spoke about. Wolves that come in sheep's clothing. We are to protect the flock. You know, we think about the character of the enemy here. He's spoken of as a wolf. And a wolf is a formidable enemy. A wolf has 42 teeth, including 4 fangs at the front of his mouth. He can wound, he can grab, he can kill the prey. You cannot underestimate the power of the wolf. The wolf is strong. We have a strong enemy that we're fighting against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers. There's an infernal foe out there, men and women, seeking to stop the gospel. He's having his way in many places and in many hearts today. We need to guard against the infernal foe. He is a mighty foe. But I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ on the center cross of Calvary has already defeated Satan. He's a defeated foe tonight. And one day Satan to Jesus must bow. And I'm glad tonight that while he is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, thank God today that we have the victory already won through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, you may be on the enemy's side tonight. You may be on the enemy's side. But dear friend, you're not on the victory side. Because one day we will stand before him and we will bring his people to be with him through all eternity. Will you be among the number? Are you saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Look at the continual watch for the enemy. The words, take heed, speak about constant watch. We are to keep our eyes peeled. He says here that the enemy is among us. Sometimes the enemy creeps in amongst the people of God, seeks to do despite, seeks to turn people away from the truth of God. Dear friend, there's an enemy. There's an apostasy out there. And that apostasy is still as strong as it ever was. There's false teaching out there. There are many pulpits, and they're preaching a false gospel, and they're deluding men and women, and people think that by their baptism or by their good works, that they'll be able to get into heaven. Dear friend, that is the gospel of the enemy. He comes and he says, yea, hath God said. Has he said that to you? Has there been that questioning in your heart? And you've been listening to the enemy? Dear friend, don't listen to the enemy. But you come the one who's won the victory on the cross of Calvary. We see something here of their protection, there to take heed to the flock. But then there's something else I want you to see about the elders. I want you to see their piety. They were to look after the flock, but they were to do something else. They were to look after themselves. It says the first order of business is to guard your own heart and your own mind. He says, and take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. He says in Luke 21 and 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. You think of the Apostle Paul, a man who gave himself to God. And he said one time, I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And if the elders are going to guard the flock, and if they're going to watch for the flock and protect the flock, they need to guard themselves. Elders, ministers, children of God, how is your walk with God? How is your prayer life? How is your study of the Word of God? Are you walking with him? Maybe you're not walking with God the way that once you did. You look back on a day when you were all out for God. But maybe that's not the case anymore. The Lord says, take heed to yourselves. Dear friend, if that is the case this evening, then isn't it about time that you got back into the place where you were walking with God? Our elders, we take it for granted that they'll walk with God. But Paul said there was a danger of even him being a castaway. Dear friend, the subtlety of temptation is such that at times we think we're okay. Sometimes we get the notion that all is well. And when we get the notion that all is well, that's the very time when we need to take heed. And Paul said to these people here, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Is that a word for you tonight? We've been speaking to sinners. We've been speaking to those who are the elders in the congregation and the ministers. But maybe there is one here and you haven't been heeding yourself. Well, come back to the Savior tonight. Let him enfold you in his arms as the prodigal was received back into the Father's arms. May he receive you tonight. Will you come back into his fold and into his blessing? But here were the elders. They were to take heed to themselves. I remember hearing a story about a young woman who wanted to go to college. She was filling in the application form. And her heart sank when she got to a question that said, are you a leader? And she debated over that for a long time, and she felt that she had to be honest. And she said, in the question form, no, I'm not a leader. And she thought that she wasn't ever going to get into that college. But to her surprise, she got a reply back accepting her into the college. And the letter of acceptance said, dear applicant, a study of the application forms revealed that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel that it is imperative that they have at least one follower. And sometimes, particularly as leaders in the work of God, we're taken up with the leadership and we forget that we are followers. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all we are. And that is the greatest honor that we could have. May God help and bless his word to your heart for his name's sake. Amen.